Good morning, everyone. I'm going to warn you, I'm an emotional mess today. Bear with me. It was awesome just worshiping, and I must admit, I'm a man enough to admit that I teared up more than once, but it was because as I was worshiping, I was just picturing many of your faces who a year ago, you hated Jesus. You gave up on God, and now I can hear you singing those words that he's faithful. And there's no doubt about it that God is faithful. He's been faithful to us. He's been faithful to this church. And today is definitely a day for us to celebrate. It is not about Village Community Church. I could care less about the church, but I'm passionate about Jesus, and I'm passionate about what he's doing amongst us in the body here and in the community that's surrounding us. And so what I'd like to do is just kind of read through. I think it's important sometimes just to remember what happened over this past year. It's kind of just a way to celebrate. It's a way to recognize and thank God for all that he's doing. And so, you know, we're not at the point where we could have a cool video. We're kind of funny and staff. We're like, man, we need an awesome video for the one-year anniversary. We're just like, well, in some ways, that's not who we are anyway. And also, we don't have the ability to do it. So you get the Village form of a one-year anniversary video. I am going to read it while Tracy puts pictures on the screen. How about that? Yas, I should have had you play some inspirational music so people would cry and everything like that. But I'll probably take care of that part. So I'm just going to read a couple pages long. Just want to just remember where we started from. And also a little bit of where God wants to take us before we hop into the message today. So I'm going to actually start a couple months prior to when the church was launched because it's part of the story. So here we go. If you hear something you like, feel free to clap or shout out or just sit quietly and stay awake. Either one's good with me. All right. 2 months before we opened the doors on April 8th of last year, the community center looked like the 50-year-old school building it was. During this time, a group of 25 people poured hundreds of hours into preparing this building to be a hospitable home for Village Community Church, as well as Joshua's Place and Celebrate Recovery. Following our Easter launch, we started with a teaching series called Grace Uncensored. The series set the foundation for a core belief around here that through Jesus, God's grace is unavoidable, unlimited, and unrelenting. The idea of God's unrelenting grace is ever present in our Celebrate Recovery ministry. In June of last year, Celebrate Recovery expanded to both Wednesday nights and Saturday mornings. Over the course of the year, we have seen attendance hit an all-time high. More people are being sponsored than ever before, which means real recovery is happening. And most importantly, Jesus is doing what he promised to do when he said that he had come to set the captives free. I want to thank Randy Holly. Randy, shout out to you and all the other CLEs. Yes. Amen. And all the other CR leaders for their faithfulness towards God and their love for the addicted. On to the summer, we hosted a couple of family movie nights and experienced something near and dear to our hearts, barbecue in the Village. All right, yes, a shout out to Rick and Tess for being a blessing to this church and this community with their business, Hillbilly Barbecue. On July 4th, we partnered with five other South Lebanon churches for United to Make a Difference. Six churches from Southern Baptist, Pentecostal, and Nazarene, and non-denominational, coming together to reach the addicted and the lost in the Village. Our first event was walking in the 4th of July parade as one presence committed to the same cause. Minus the 98-degree weather, it was a great event. Yes. We're doing it again this year. We moved it up to 11 o'clock. You'll all be happy about that. We followed this up with a community festival and a couple prayer gatherings since that time. I truly believe that part of God's blessing upon this church is tied to the unity we have with other churches in the Village. Next up was summer camp in the Village. Yes, whew. This was one of my favorite highlights from the past year. We had 50 kids spend 5 weeks at the community center, learning about Jesus, serving the community, receiving a needed meal, and having an absolute blast at the same time. Special thanks to Nona Payton for both her vision. Nona, she's not in here, but we love you, Nona. A special thanks to her for her vision and leadership in making this happen. We ended the summer by starting our first book series on Colossians, which taught us what it means to be rooted in the sufficiency of Christ. This included rolling out the horse trough for our first baptism service. Baptisms are a big deal around here because they represent commitments to Jesus. And one of the pictures on the screen, I think, is I had an opportunity to baptize my son Andrew. And here we go. Okay. I said it before, you know, if that was the only thing that happened by planting this church, I'd be a happy man. So that was just awesome. Amen, Vance. In the fall, our preteens went on the I Am retreat in partnership with other local churches. And some of you have seen in the back of the room, there's a mural and there's a picture on the screen here. And what this mural is all about is just an awesome message that our preteens had an opportunity to do. On the Friday night, they gathered and they were all given this clay pot and they were told to decorate it the best that they could. And they spent a lot of time on it and that there was going to be a contest on who had the best clay pot. It was kind of supposed to be a description of their group. And so all the leaders had the clay pots, and they were going to judge which one was the best. And at the same time, all the leaders dropped the clay pots on the ground and smashed them into pieces. And the kids went nuts, and the kids were, I don't know if any were crying, but some of them probably wanted to. They were just all upset, and they didn't know what was going on. Over the next 2 days, a couple of college students that are art students put together this mural. And to represent that to them that, you know what, we all live shattered and broken lives, but the great God, the great I Am, puts us back together, and we're beautiful than ever before. And so that's the message of this church summed up in just the preteen retreat. So that was an awesome time for this church. All right, later in the fall, it feels like the year should be done already. My goodness, we're busy beavers around here. Later in the fall, was the start of Community Nights in the Village. Our theme for Community Nights is going deeper and growing stronger. Tuesday nights became a highlight for many of us as we gathered to share a meal, worship, pray for one another, and dive deeper into our walks with Christ. November included more baptisms. We built our first set for the Christmas series. Yeah, woo! For the Christmas series called Carols. And we needed two services as we celebrated the birth of Jesus on Christmas Eve with a traditional candlelight service. At the beginning of 2013, 10 families were added to Joshua's Place Co-op as a result of Four for More. Because every participant is now investing $4 every time they come to Joshua's Place, we are able to partner with more families in the village, and participants experience the joy of giving back. In combination with Power Pack program that is serving over 250 kids, Joshua's Place is providing over 50,000 meals a year. Thanks to everyone who volunteers there. And Kevin, just thank you for your leadership and your vision. You're doing an awesome job. Yeah. January also included a church-wide 21-day fast. It was new for a lot of us. The power of having a whole church sacrifice for the glory of God was evident as we concluded with a night of worship that drew us closer to God and one another. We also launched The Landing in January, so now our 5th, 6th, and 7th graders can have a Sunday morning experience that is relevant to their lives and it helps them become fully engaged followers of Christ. We led into Easter with an 8-week series on the Holy Spirit called Presence. It was an impactful time for many of us as we learned who the Holy Spirit is, how he lives in us and empowers us to live the life God has uniquely called us to. Amen, yes. Our Easter celebration was awesome last week, and of course, more baptisms. Finally, as a reflection of our missional core value, we hosted various events throughout the year, like the Mother's Day lunch, Trunk or Treat, the Kids Spring Fest. We also provided backpacks and school supplies to students, helped sponsor kids in Guatemala through our partnership with Lemonade International, and helped provide presents to kids through Christmas at Joshua's Place. 1 year, do you believe that? My goodness, this is amazing that over the course of the first year, 21 people were baptized, our attendance quadrupled, and we have nearly 60 volunteers serving on a regular basis. And so what does this all mean? It means God, I'm glad I wrote it down, I'll never get through it. It means God has been abundantly gracious to Village Community Church, and he loves this community more than we do. It means God has a plan to see his kingdom come to South Lebanon as it is in heaven. It means that the church has a faithful and gifted group of people, and I love you all, who want the gospel of Jesus Christ to move in power. It means Satan will come against us, but always remember we have a God who soundly defeated him. It means the great things are in store for the coming year, and we all should be ready for the ride of our lives. And amen. You know, who knows? I'm not bold enough or I'm not prideful enough to say I know what 2013 and 14 are going to look like. But I'm confident of a couple things that if we stay the course that we're on and we're not perfect, man, there are a lot of things that I want to see happen at this church, and they will over time. But if we stay the course and we stay committed to what's important around here, and that is providing a space and environment where Jesus is freely to move, where we're loving him and we're worshiping him and we're loving one another and we're committed to the gospel, this is what will happen. Jesus will be able to do, and this is what he's doing now, but this is what he'll be able to do if we continue to provide that environment. This is the mission of Jesus that he said. This is why Jesus said, I came into this world. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Man, that's all I want, and I'm sure that's all we want. If we continue to stay the course, we continue to lay our lives down, we continue to pursue Jesus with passion, he's going to do that. And that's what we want. So everyone, I didn't mention, but just thank you guys for this first year. It's been awesome. It wouldn't have happened. 60 volunteers on a regular basis serving inside these walls, serving at Celebrate Recovery in Joshua's Place. The number's probably closer to 80. So thank you. It was an awesome year, but that's done. Let's move on to year two, right? Come on. We're not going to live in the past and say, man, that was fantastic. There are greater things indeed to come. And so today we're going to be launching a new series, and that series is called Vision. And kind of as I kind of take the pulse of where I think the church is at, what I've seen and what I mentioned already is that many of us, and this is myself too, that we're becoming more and more alive to the gospel. We're becoming more alive in our hearts to who Jesus is and the life he called us to. And I think one of the needs we have right now in the church is a lot of us are feeling freer than ever before. We're feeling more in love with Jesus than ever before. But I think what we need to kind of focus on over these next 8 weeks, and this is a four-week series, and we're going to do another four-week series, but the practical things on, okay, what does that mean? I feel free in Christ. Now, what do I do with that? I feel this new passion. Now, what do I do with it? And how do I live it out in all areas of my life? And so the series we're going to kick off today is called Vision. And I bit off way more than I can chew today because I'm going to keep this to 25 minutes so we can celebrate with some barbecue, and I'm going to start smelling it here in a couple minutes, and you're all going to be distracted. But it's where we're going to start today on this series, and what I want us to realize today are a few things is that, you know, Jesus' plan for our life is greater than salvation. Is anything better than that? I'm not sure. I'm not going to say that. But his plan for you and I includes more than just being saved. And I also want us to realize today also that the gospel should impact every area of our lives, not just our salvation. That the gospel, the good news of Jesus, should impact all our relationships. It should impact our finances. It should impact our jobs. It should impact how we view our health and how we take care of our bodies or don't take care of our bodies. The gospel should impact every single area of our lives. And what the Vision series is all about, and the theme kind of wrapped around, is I want us to see God's vision for those areas of our life. God, what is your vision for my relationships? God, what's your vision for my health? God, what's your vision for my job? But not just see the vision, because it's one thing to see it, but what are the practical steps that we can do as followers of Christ? What are some of the steps that we can take? And during this series, you all know if you've been here a year, I like to use this stage as my little continuum. So we're going to celebrate the one-year anniversary with another continuum for it. But over here is that place where you're fully living out God's vision for your life, 100% living it out. None of you are here. Unless your name is Jesus Christ, none of us can stand in this spot. This side of heaven, none of us are going to be completely there. Our relationships are not going to be perfect. Our jobs, our health, our finances, they're not going to be completely aligned with God's vision for our lives. Now, some of us are probably standing about right here, and it may depend on the topic that week. If it's about relationships, you may be standing right here. You're in a good spot. And what God may be asking you to do during a series is just stay the course you're on. He's going to ask you to take some steps. You may be just taking baby steps during this series in order to get closer to where God wants you to be. And there's a lot of us that are maybe way down here. And we're going to need to do some stretching, you know? We're going to, stretch out those hamstrings. Anybody got bad hip flexors like me? All right, ready? Stretch them out, Scott. Oh, yeah. You're going to have to stretch out. You know why? Because God's going to ask you to do that. Take some huge leaps during this series. Some huge, to make some real life changes in order to live out the vision God has for you. So you better get ready for that. And some of us, we're way down here. We're way down here. That's God's vision for our life, and this is where we stand. In order for you, what you're going to need to do this series is this. No, I'm not going to jump all the way down there. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? You think I can do it? Absolutely not. I think I tore my hamstring on that jump. I'm done. What God is going to ask you to do, he's just going to ask you to take the first step. He's going to ask you to get in the game. He's going to ask you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, because if you've yet to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, trying to live out his vision for your life, it's fruitless. In fact, it's meaningless. So if you're here this morning and you're like, you know, I don't know if what I believe in Jesus, your challenge during this series is to decide if Jesus is for you, to decide if you can surrender your life to him, because unless you get into the game, these steps, you know what, you can masquerade it for a while, but in the end, they're going to be meaningless if you don't do it with Jesus and for Jesus. And so today we're going to kick off with God's vision for our faith. And I want to read a scripture to you from Proverbs, Proverbs 29. Probably a scripture that a lot of us have heard, and I'm going to read it in three different translations. The first one that's going to be on your screen is from the King James Version, which this is probably the first time I've read the King James Version here at Village Community Church. And this is for you, Randy Holly. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I want to read it to you in the New Life Translation. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. And the NIV says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. What this Proverbs is telling us is if we don't see God's vision for our lives, what do? Whatever we feel like. When we don't see God's vision for our marriage, what do? We live it for ourselves. We become selfish. We cast off restraint is what the scriptures are saying to us. And I've got this great quote from Helen Keller. And you all know who Helen Keller is? Well, I got a confession to make. Okay, so Andrew comes home from school about a month ago. And you ever see this show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? All right, Andrew's in third grade. And he comes home, and I ask him the same question like we all do. Hey, how was school? What does he say? Good, fine, yes. So you try to dig a little deeper. Well, what did you learn today? Nothing. What classes did you have? Social studies. Well, what did you talk about? Oh, we talked about Helen Keller. And I chimed in, and I said, isn't that awesome how she flew across the Atlantic? Wasn't she blind? All right. It's like, Dad, that's Earhart. And she wasn't blind, but Helen Keller, yeah, she's blind. And Dad, she was deaf. And so I'm not smarter than a third grader, so I don't know what confidence that gives you in the rest of this talk, but Helen Keller has a great quote about vision. She said, the most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but no vision. Now, Helen Keller drops, she's straightforward, right? She said, if you've got sight to see but you've got no vision for your life, she says, you're pathetic. I'll wear that T-shirt. I'll admit it. You all don't have to admit it here. It's my job to confess it. But I wore the pathetic T-shirt a lot in my life. For the first 30 years of my life, 31 years before I knew Jesus, that's all I wore. T-shirt that said pathetic. I thought I knew what my life was supposed to look like, the job I was supposed to have, what the relationships I was supposed to have. You wonder why they all fail? Because I didn't know God's vision for my life. But even as a follower of Christ, I still at times put on my pathetic T-shirt. I think I know what's best for me. I think I know what I want. And then I come to a point, maybe I'm reading scripture, and I realize that it doesn't align with God's vision for my marriage. And it's like, you idiot, you idiot. And so what we're trying to learn here is that if we don't see God's vision, if we don't see it at all, we really have no hope. And as I said today, I want to start with God's vision for our faith, because everything flows from that. We've got to get that right. If we get God's vision for our faith right, the rest of it comes in line. God's vision for my relationships, my finances, my jobs, my health, those things are easier if we get this right. So what's God's vision for our faith? It's a great question. Read a scripture from you from Jeremiah 29. It's one that I bet you a lot of us have heard about. You're probably not as familiar with the scripture that comes two verses later, and I'll get to that. But Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Great stuff, right? God has good plans for us. Kind of echoes the word from John 10:10, where Jesus said, you know, I didn't come just to save you all. I came to give you life. Not just any ordinary life, but the abundant life. I came to give you abundant life, said Jesus. So we see in the Old Testament, God talking to the nation of Israel saying, I've come to prosper you, to give you a good life. We see in the New Testament, Jesus saying that I have come to give you the abundant life, the fullness of life. And that's God's plan for his creation. Why? He didn't create us. He created us for good, and he created us to give us this good life. And I've been asking this question for about 4 months now. Do you believe that? I feel called and compelled to continually challenge you. Do you believe that God has good plans for your life? That all areas of your life, every single relationship you have, your finances, your health, and some of us are really dealing with some significant health issues, but you believe that God has good plans for you. And for some of us, I think why I find myself in the Spirit harping on it over and over again, challenge you to address that question, is because a lot of us, all we have seen, we've seen parents, we've seen grandparents not live out God's vision for their lives. We've seen generations of family have broken relationships, and we think that that's my destiny. That's what's in store for me. Oh, my family's always had poor health and heart problems. That must be my destiny. And I'm here to tell you this morning that's not true. If you're believing that your destiny is anything but good plans, now that's not going to mean we're not going to have struggles. We all know that. Don't get me wrong here, but God's plans for us are good. He has called us to the abundant life, and it starts there. You've got to believe that. If you don't believe that, the rest of it is going to be really difficult to do. Jeremiah 29:13. So you all familiar with God has great plans for us, blah, 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 blah. All right, we stop there. We don't get to two verses later, which is the important verse that explains how we receive those good plans. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart." How do we find God? How do we understand and see God's vision and live out God's vision for our life? We seek him with our whole heart. What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. And don't get me wrong, I see a lot of us doing that. So this is as much of an encouragement to many of you to continue on that course. But maybe it's a call of correction for some of us that aren't doing that. Maybe we're just showing up to church on a Sunday, but we're not seeking God with all our heart. And my first pastor that I had after becoming a Christian, I sat under his teaching for 7 years. And what I loved about him is, one, he had a great way of just explaining the Bible. And he also was an awesome storyteller. The downside is he told the same story over and over again sometimes because he forgot that he told these stories. And so, but there was one story, probably because I heard it 5 times, that I remember, and that every time I heard it, it impacted me. And it's about seeking God with all your heart. And I'll share this story briefly with you. I think it's just a made-up story. I'm sure it is. But it's a story of this guy who lived in a village, not South Lebanon Village. We'll say he's over somewhere, I don't know, in Asia, in a village, and he goes to his master, he goes to his teacher, and he goes, "How can I know God? How can I find God?" is his question. And so the master says, "Come with me." And he walks him down to the river in the town, and he says, "Get on your knees." Actually, lay face down into the river. And so he lays kind of face down in the river, wondering what the heck is going on. And so as he does that, the master gets down and he puts his knee on his back. to hold him into the water. And after about 20 seconds, the student starts struggling, and the master takes and shoves his head into the water and holds him under it. And the student starts flailing around trying to get out of the water, and the master just keeps him under and under and under the water for it seems like forever. And then finally lets him up, and the student pops up, takes a deep breath. He's like, "What was that all about?" The master says, "When you desire God as much as you desire that next breath, that's when you'll find him." And I always remember that as a way of, guys, if we want to know God's vision for our life, we've got to be desperate for it. It's just not going to run in front of us. We're just not going to see it. We can't go about our lives as normal. We can't just do things we've always done and find out God's true vision for our lives. We've got to seek it with all our heart. We've got to chase after it. So I've got a question for you. What's your spiritual temperature right now? Are you cold? Are you hot for Jesus? Are you maybe just lukewarm a little bit for Jesus? If you're cold for Jesus, you're probably standing way down here at this end. Doesn't mean you're opposed to Jesus. You probably think he's a pretty good guy. You're not opposed, but you're just not in it for Jesus. You don't think about him very often. You probably have yet to surrender your life to Jesus Christ if you're cold for him. And some of us, we are. You're literally, and this is, some of you need to be hear this and receive encouragement. You are hot, man. You are on fire for Jesus. I had conversations with you, and you're just like, "I want to know more. Let me just understand and know more of who Jesus is." You just want to serve him. You want to lay your life down for the gospel. You are on fire for Jesus. Is that you? Or maybe you're somewhere in between. You're not cold and you're not hot, but you're kind of, maybe you'd call yourself lukewarm for Jesus. Read a scripture to you from Revelations. It's from chapter 3. It's the Apostle John received a vision from God, and in it he gave a message to certain churches. And one of his messages was to the church in Laodicea, and these are the words that are written. It says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." What the heck is up with that? Now, there's a lot of vision and imagery in the book of Revelations, and there's a couple things I want us to get. I bet most of us, because we're probably being honest, we're probably saying we were lukewarm, thinking that was okay. What God is trying to communicate through the vision to John is lukewarm is not okay. It is not a good place to be. Now, we all find ourselves lukewarm in a season. I get that. Things happen. Maybe it's just, but it ought to be a short season in our lives. And it says, what's God going to do? Now, he says, "I'm going to spit you out of my mouth." Well, this imagery here, obviously God doesn't have us in his mouth at the moment, so he's not going to spit us out. But the imagery that I want us to pick up on is that maybe it's something that just doesn't taste good to God. God's not interested in somebody who's half in for him. What the scripture said, "I want you to seek me," as we talked about Jeremiah 29:13, "with all my heart, with all your heart, seek me, be hot, on fire for Jesus." And so what's your spiritual temperature? If you're cold, you need to get in the game. If you're lukewarm, you need to get hot, on fire for Jesus. You know, I've been following Christ for 12 or 13 years. And take this for what you want, Will, but I feel like I've been on fire for Jesus the whole time. And I don't say that proudly, but I say it's possible. You all might. How can you always be excited about Jesus? You can be. So how do we get hot for Jesus? How do we get out of the lukewarm stage? How do we understand and live out God's vision for our faith? Well, we seek him with all our heart. How do we do that? And this is part of the series. I said it's going to be practical. I want this to be practical. Every week we try to be practical around here. We've got next steps. If you've got a connection card, you're going to see some today. Without next steps, I give nothing more than a lecture, you know. So every week has to have application to it. But specifically in this series, I want to make sure we understand the really practical things that we can do. And so I've got a couple buckets of things I want to talk about right now as we've been getting to close. And the first question I'm going to ask you is this. What spiritual disciplines draw you closer to God? What spiritual disciplines draw you closer to God? Is studying Scripture, being in God's Word, maybe that's one of your disciplines. And what does Jesus say about God's Word? He says, you know, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on the very Word of God. I can tell you that I've met few people, I've met no one actually, I'll be honest, I've met no one who can remain consistently on fire for Jesus and not be somebody who's in the Word. It's impossible. Is that part of your daily life? Maybe not every day, don't get me wrong, but is it part of your routine? Are you consistently in the Word, consistently in Scripture? If you're not, we should be. We need to get in the Word. It's how we're going to begin to seek God in our lives. And how do we start? I know that question. Just read it. That's my best answer. I give it every time. Where do I start? I don't care. Just, you know, let's not use that as an excuse as not beginning. If you don't know where to begin, read the Gospel of Luke. If you've already read the Gospel of Luke, go ahead, read Ephesians. There you go. You got two things to start with. But being in the Word, it helps us discover what God's vision for our life is. It answers some of those questions that we all have. What do I do with this? God's Word, it gives us an abundant amount of answers to those questions. And so is that part of your routine and rhythm of life? How about prayer? Is that one of the spiritual disciplines? And as I go through these, I know a lot of us will be, I don't do any of this. It's why you're lukewarm. That's the point I'm trying to make. So these are things that help develop fervor for God. Is prayer part of your rhythm and routine of life? When I say prayer, I'm not just saying, do we come before God and do we tell him all the bad things that are happening in our lives and ask him to fix it? That is part of prayer. But are you having conversations with God? Are you growing in intimacy and a relationship with him? Are you putting your request before him? Are you taking the time to sit and to listen to what he has to say? Serving, are you serving? Serving is one of the greatest spiritual disciplines to understand and to find out what God's vision for your faith is. Because what does serving do? It takes the focus off me. Anybody else in this room need a little dose of taking the focus off themselves? Yes, their problems, their issues, their concerns, I do. When I'm serving, I'm not thinking about that. And again, if you're serving, you're probably experiencing and seeing some of that. But if you're not serving, you're probably not getting a full picture of God's vision for your faith. Community nights, another one. Do you come on Tuesdays to go deeper into what I'm talking about? We're just scratching the surface here this morning. We need to dive deeper into these scriptures and deeper into God's Word. And that's what community nights are all about. And the list goes on and on. It's not those four. I mean, there's fasting, there's worship, there's celebration, there's just solitude, time with God. There's lots of spiritual disciplines that increase our fervor for God. And I got a quote here from Andy Stanley. He's a pastor down in Atlanta. And Andy, I've never heard him speak like a preaching kind of message, but he's really known in the pastor circles, a guy about leadership. I think he wrote a book called Vision. I'm not certain, but I think he actually wrote a book called Vision. But he's got a great quote about these spiritual disciplines. He says, success is remaining faithful to the process God laid out for you. These are the practical things that God has given us to come into a deep relationship with us. He's given us his Word. He's given us the ability to not only speak to him, but to hear from him. He's given us the privilege to serve him, to gather together in a community that loves us, that communities. These are the things that God laid out, and these are the practical things we can do. They're going to increase our desire for God, and that's how we seek God, by experiencing these spiritual disciplines. So they need to be a part of our lives. But maybe a bigger question, I don't think it's bigger, but that's one end of the spectrum. The other question I want to propose to us is this. What barriers prevent you from moving closer to God? See, there's things we can do that move us closer to God, but there are things in our lives that prevent us from moving forward. Does that make sense? What barriers do you have that you might need to remove? And that's for some of us, that's going to be part of taking that huge leap. So you're going to finally get, you know, you're trying to do that Carl Lewis broad jump, you know, you're trying to do that, but you can't because you got this wall in front of you. You got this barrier. You're trying to jump. You hit your head again and again because you've got barriers in your life that are preventing you from seeing and living out God's vision for your life. what are some of those barriers you need to remove? For some of us, it's the past. It's past hurt. It's past pain. For some of us, it's time for us to stop blaming God for things that he didn't do. For some of us, it's time to deal with the unforgiveness that is in our hearts. See, these are barriers that are going to prevent us from seeing and moving forward for God's vision for our lives. And again, don't get me wrong, I understand it is heavy in this room. There are a lot of people in here suffering, so I don't say this lightly. The staff gathered on Tuesday, as we always do, and we were weeping over the prayer request. There are some real difficult life issues in this room. I get that. But those situations you're in right now, those circumstances, believe it or not, they can actually move you closer to God rather than further away from him if you do not allow them to be a barrier. Because God is good and God is faithful. We sang it. God is faithful. We have never walked alone, and you haven't. You're not alone. Christ has not abandoned you because of some of the things that are going on in your life. Do not let them be barriers from experience the fullness of the life that he has for you. And for those, again, that are in the past, people need this. I don't know who it is, but a couple of people need to hear it. Don't blame God for things he didn't do. They're preventing you from experiencing the fullness of the life he has for you. What are some other barriers? Three-letter word. Anyone guesses? Yes. I love you, brother. Why do you know so much about sin? No, he's right. Sin. I'm preparing this talk, and I'm like, God, it's the one-year anniversary. You want me to talk about sin? Come on. He's like, why are you going to stop sharing truth with him on your one-year anniversary? Sin is a big deal, and it's a huge barrier for a lot of us in our lives. And we have no, if you're new to Village Community Church, we have no problem talking about sin around here. We talk about it all the time. You know why? Because we talk about grace just as much. What lies on the other side of sin? If we confess our sins, and that's step one, just admitting to God some things in our lives that are not consistent with his holiness. When we confess them, step two, turn from them, which is called repentance. What lies on the other side of that? Jesus Christ with open arms saying, I love you, you're welcome, you're forgiven. I'm not afraid to talk about sin because it's so beautiful when you get past it. But for some of us, sin is a barrier to living out God's vision for our faith. Let me give you a couple examples. God's vision for your relationships. And next week we'll be talking about that. And we're not just going to be talking about marriage, but I'll use that as an illustration. If we think we can look at pornography and have intimacy with our spouse, we're fooling ourselves. It's actually the sin of lust that is preventing you from experiencing the intimacy you want. And so for some of us, again, those are the big steps you're going to have to take. You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to remove it from your life because it's a barrier. God's vision for our finances. That's actually the next series. But if all we do is worry about money, and if we have idolatry and greed in our hearts and we don't deal with it, we're not going to live out God's vision for our finances. Make sense? So sin's a real barrier, and I know right now when I said the word sin, it always happens, because I used to sit there, and I still sit there and listen to pastors. As soon as I say the word sin, something comes to your mind, because you all sin. You do. If nothing comes to your mind when I say you need to remove some sin from your lives, you're blinded to what's going on in your life. And so whatever that is that's popping in your head, maybe this series is the time for you to deal with it so that you can live out God's vision for that area of your life. And then lastly, what barriers do we have in our lives? And this is where mine goes up with two hands. I'm guilty. Too guilty. I love the world too much at times. I love the world. I'll admit it. Sometimes I love the things of this world, and by things I don't mean possessions, but I love what the world has to offer sometimes more than I love Jesus. Sometimes sitting in front of the TV for 2 or 3 hours just entertaining myself mindlessly, maybe for 4 days in a row, not even picking up, oh my gosh, Pastor Jeff, not even picking up this word. Because I love just the mindless activity. The world's offering that to me. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, you know what? You can't serve two masters, Jeff. You're either going to love one, you're going to hate the other. It's impossible. The apostle John in 2 John said, you know what? You cannot love the world and you cannot love the Father. It's impossible to do this, do both of those at the same time. And for a lot of us, we need to do a gut check. What do we love more? What do we think about all the time? What are we consumed with? Is it Jesus Christ or is it things of this world? Parents, let me ask you this question. This may challenge you and you may disagree. Are your kids more obsessed about good grades and getting into the right college than they are about Jesus Christ? I would say the love for the world and the things of it are greater than the love for God. Where is your heart? Where is my heart? It's gut check time. Am I all in for Jesus? Am I trying to be white hot for Jesus, or am I just lukewarm? Am I willing to address the barriers in my life? Am I willing to address the past hurt and the pain, the current suffering? Am I willing to address the sin? And for those of you that don't think you love the world more than you love Jesus, and I read this list of things about ways to draw closer to God, studying scripture, prayer, serving in community nights, and you say, I don't have time for that stuff, it's because you love the world and the things of it too much. If you don't believe me, for the next week, write down everything you do for a day. Do a time study. Look back at it. See where you spent your time, where your heart and your affections were. If our hearts and our affections are for Jesus and his mission, we'll find ourselves doing these things naturally. If our hearts and our affections are for other places, we won't. But let's add on the positive note, right? It's the one-year anniversary. But that's our DNA, isn't it, around here? Why would we all of a sudden take the time and just give a message that just makes us feel good and we walk out of here unchanged? Might as well shut the doors, right? Because the Word of God, it speaks to us, it cuts to our hearts. We're here to be transformed by God, by the hand of God. But the good news, and Yas, if you guys want to make your way up here so we can close with the worship song, is that Jesus' plans are for us. They are so good. They are so better than any of us realize, and I am 100% convinced of that. And we got to open our hearts and our minds to what God's vision for our life is. And I didn't plan to say this, but just popped in my head. My goodness, and I said it before, and you guys can call me prideful, I don't care, but I've been on fire for Jesus for a long time. I've been on fire for Jesus, and I've said, God, what's your vision for my life? And if you would have asked me 10 years ago if I was ever going to plant a church, I would have told you to get the heck out of here. It's the dumbest thing I've heard. But because I've kept my eyes open and my heart open to God's vision for my life, this is where I am today, and I don't know what the next 10 years are going to look like, but if our hearts and our minds are open to what God's vision for our faith is and for our entire lives, things like that will happen. And there are some of you in this room right now, you need to open your heart and your mind to that call that God has on your life. Man, I want to celebrate year two by saying we're about ready to plant our second campus. Wouldn't that be awesome? Because some of you need to open your hearts and your mind to that. That is God's call on your life. That's the way the gospel is going to spread throughout the world like we want to see it when we plant more churches. And so I want to close with the worship song, but first take out your next steps here. I said I was going to be practical, and so let me do that. Is this the first time I've read these like in 6 months? Probably so. Okay. I repent, and I'm going to change my ways. Ready? Three practical steps you can take this week to understand God's vision for your faith. Well, the one's just for me. I will attend the next 3 weeks of the Vision Series, so you can go ahead and do that. But no, I think it's going to be a great series. It can be one of those high impact practical series for your life. Next bold step you can take: I will pick one spiritual discipline to practice this week. Just pick one. Maybe they're not a part of your daily rhythm in life, but pick one. Be it scripture, prayer, show up Tuesday at community nights. Pick one and do it this week and see the impact it has in your relationship with God. And three, I will begin to process the process of removing the biggest barrier in me that prevents me from living out God's vision for my life. And as I said earlier, I have no doubt the Holy Spirit spoke to you and something came to mind as a barrier that's in your life, and I encourage you to take that next step and deal with it. So let's go ahead and stand up. Let's finish a song that many of us know. It's called Give Me Faith, and it just talks about the idea that if we're going to live out God's vision for our faith, we got to surrender that to him. We can't do it under our own strength or our own willpower, but we can do it by the Spirit of God who lives within us. So let's close with this song.